بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله نصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. My respected brothers and elders, we were going through this chapter which is titled باب الوصية بالنساء, the chapter which mentions those ahadith which relate to treating women with kindness and goodness. So this is specifically advising the men to treat their women folk with goodness, with kindness. So we're at the end of the chapter. It was quite a lengthy chapter. So there's two ahadith left. Inshallah, I'll finish them and I'll see if I can start the next chapter. In the next chapter, it is mentioned the rights that the wife has, that the wife needs to fulfill of her husband. So that is going to come next, inshallah. وَعَنْ إِيَاسِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ أَبِي ذُبَابٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا تَضْرِبُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ. So this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Iyas ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Dhubab radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La tadribu ima Allahi." Do not beat, meaning do not hit the female servants of Allah. Do not hit the female servants of Allah. Ibad, in Arabic the word abdun means male servant, and ibad means male servants, and amatun means female servant, and ima'un means female servants or maid servants. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not hit the female servants of Allah, the female slaves of Allah, meaning do not hit your women folk. So faja'a Umar radiyallahu anhu ila Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faqala dha'irna an-nisa'u ala azwajihinna. So Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the women have become very audacious against their husbands. Because you've said to the husbands, nobody is allowed to hit their women folk or lay a hand on their women folk. So the women are becoming very audacious and they're saying whatever they want to and they're doing whatever they feel like because of what you've said. So فَرَخَّصَ فِي ضَرْبِهِنَّ. At that moment in time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave permission for the husband to hit his wife in that specific situation. And I discussed this last a few weeks as well about hitting and the fact that it's mentioned in the Quran, and I'll discuss this after again inshallah. فَأَطَافَ بِآلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ نِسَاءٌ كَثِيرٌ يَشْكُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, you said to us men folk that we're not allowed to lay a finger on our wives, so our wives are becoming very, very audacious. And in one narration it mentions that the women of the Muhajireen, the women of Mecca, have come to Medina and they are staying with the women of Medina, and the women of Medina are much more free and much more easygoing, and that has influenced them. So they are starting to do certain things that they never did before. He said these kind of things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, because this darb, this hitting, Allah has mentioned it in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the leeway for hitting. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this permission, then many women came to the houses of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, starting to complain about their husbands. That, ya Rasulullah, our husbands are hitting us, and they are not fulfilling our rights, and they are hitting us. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the complaints of all of these women who are complaining that their husbands are beating them, their husbands are hitting them, so he said, so he gathered all of the Sahaba and he said, لَقَدْ أَطَافَ بِآلِ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ نِسَاءٌ كَثِيرٌ. That indeed many women have been doing tawaf, meaning they have been constantly, again and again, they have been visiting the houses of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the houses of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَشْكُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ. So what these women would do is, many times they couldn't come straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they would go to one of his wives and they'd say, look, can you please tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what's happening? So yashkuna azwajahunna, these women are complaining about their husbands, that their husbands are hitting them. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, laysa ulaika bi khiyarikum. Remember one thing, these men who are hitting their wives, they are not from the best of you. They are not from the best amongst you. So look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a predicament where Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned specifically that if a person feels that by hitting, they feel that they can, a wife is behaving in a certain way that the husband feels that by hitting, then this behavior will subdue this bad behavior, this ill behavior, or maybe she is doing things which are clearly contradicting the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and he feels that he can discipline her in this way. Allah Ta'ala has given that permission. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't deny that Allah ta'ala has given this permission, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, what is the Islami akhlaq? What is the character that one must have? Just because this is mentioned in the Quran, does this mean that a man starts becoming aggressive against his wife? No. Because, like I always mentioned, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself never ever laid his hands on a woman. And this has been mentioned so many times in his Shama'il, that ma daraba imra'atan qattu, he never ever laid his fingers on a woman. He never ever hit a woman. However, this has been mentioned in the Quran. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to hide something which is mentioned in the Quran. Whenever something Allah ta'ala mentions, even if our wisdom or our understanding, we cannot understand how this works. Especially growing up in this society, modern society, where we have all of these rights, and a person will straight away say, why has this been mentioned? It does not seem fair because of X, Y, and Z reasons. A person should think automatically that society and a person's mindset is shaped by the society they live in. When Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran, Allah revealed it in His wisdom, and His wisdom is infinite. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ Is Allah Ta'ala not the most wise of those who have wisdom? So if Allah Ta'ala gives a command, whether that command makes sense to us or not, we accept that Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is infinite. Now, like I said, this is mentioned in the Quran, but does not mean, and I explained last week as well, even the ulama of tafsir, hundreds of years ago when they were explaining these ayat, there were no women's rights and there was no feminism and there was none of this. They didn't have to sugarcoat anything. They could have clearly said, Allah said this in the Quran, so yes, you know, if someone is not happy with the behavior of their wife, they're allowed to hit them. They could have been very clear about it, but no. You see, even Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Imam Ibn Kathir, rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, all the great scholars of tafsir, when they talk about this hadith, this ayat where Allah Ta'ala mentions that if you fear disobedience from your wife, or you fear that she is disobeying the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then separate the bedding, and advise her, if that does not work, separate the bedding, if that does not work, then hit her. When they come to this point about hitting her, they mention so many hadith from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a hadith like this, wherein Rasulullah is mentioning that hitting is the last possible resort, and you only go to that resort if you feel that that will help strengthen your marriage. We're living in modern society, anybody will know that by using this method, even though it's been prescribed in the Quran, because of the context of our modern society, by utilizing this method, there is no way that the love will rekindle in that marriage, or the happiness will rekindle in that marriage. And that's why Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi very clearly says in his tafsir, he says that advise your wife. And if you fear that if advising is not working, and she still doesn't care about you, and she still does not have any regard for you, then separate the bedding from her. Separate rooms or separate beds. If that does not work, then if you feel that hitting will solve the problem, then adopt that. If you do not, then go straight on to the next procedure, which is get your family members, get her family members, sit down and talk it out and try and resolve it in this particular way. So this hadith is very, very clear. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially saying, no one should be hitting. لا تضربوا إماء الله. Do not beat or do not hit the female servants of Allah. But then Umar radiallahu anhu comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you've said this, but now the women are starting to behave in a certain way and we're finding it difficult to live with them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave permission. He has to, this permission has been given by Allah Ta'ala. But when he received the complaints of women who are saying that our husbands are hitting us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam automatically said, look, many women are coming complaining about their husbands, but remember, these men who are being complained about, that they are hitting their husbands, they are not from the best of you. This is not from the good akhlaq which was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the final hadith of this chapter is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الدنيا متاع وخير متاع الدنيا المرأة الصالحة. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ, the entire dunya is mata'a. Mata'a, Allah ta'ala many times in the Quran has called this dunya mata'a. قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعُ وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. So many times in the Quran Allah ta'ala says this dunya is just mata'a. So what does mata'a literally mean? The ulama have translated it as a worthless, something which is worthless, something which has no purpose. But what is the origins of the word mata'? The great scholar of Arabic grammar, there was a great scholar of Arabic grammar whose name was Imam Ismail rahmatullahi alayh. So Imam Ismail rahmatullahi alayh says that I understood the origins of every word in the Quran except for two words. One was mata' and one was tabarak. Allah uses the word tabarak many times. So I said, I was always interested about where the origins of these two words come from. I knew what they meant, sort of, but I wanted to know where it came from. So he said, obviously the Arabic language, the people who speak the best Arabic language are those who live in the deserts, the Bedouins. These people have the richest and the purest Arabic language. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child was given to Halima Sa'diyah from Banu Sa'ad. Because the people of the city would give their children to the people of the deserts, the Bedouin people, to look after them. Because they would teach them the pure culture of the Arabs and the pure language of the Arabs. So he said, I went into the deserts and I started, you know, mingling with the desert dwellers, the Bedouins. And he said, on one occasion, I went to this certain tent and I heard a boy crying out to his mum. And what in he said one sentence, and maybe it was from Allah Ta'ala, he said this one sentence, in that sentence he used both of those words in the correct context. He said, Ja al kalbu, he called out to his mum, he said, Ja al kalbu wa akhad al mata'a wa tabaraka ala al jabal. He said, mum, the dog came, he's telling his mum, mum, the dog came, wa akhad al mata'a, and he took the mata'a. وَتَبَارَكَ عَلَى الْجَبَلِ And then it ascended the mountain. It's gone on top of the mountain. So what was the mata' that this boy was talking about? And I've explained it before as well, that in the kitchen, many kitchens, they have this grease cloth that is not used for drying your face or drying your hands. It's only used for drying dishes or, you know, rubbing off any dirt or something like this. It's not a clean cloth. You won't use it to dry your hands or your face. But you'll just use it for bits around the kitchen. Right, so this cloth was called mata'. So there's a cloth that was lying around, you could say a rag, a filthy rag, that was used to clean the dirt on the kitchen floor and the surfaces. So a dog had come and taken that, and it had gone on top of the mountain. So the boy said, Ja al kalb wa akhad al mata'. And Imam Ismail said, this is, now it makes sense. That the origin of mata', it comes from this word. That this is the reality of mata'. And in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the reality of the dunya is like that dirty cloth in the kitchen that has no value. If you threw it in the bin, nobody would miss it. That's how dirty it is, that's how insignificant it is. Anyway, so in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, الدنيا mata'un. The entire dunya is mata'. Meaning it's something which is futile, something which is worthless. However, وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ The best thing out of this entire mata' of the dunya, everything that a person can possess, the best thing is al-mar'atu salihah, a pious wife. Out of all of the things that a person owns or has inside of this world, the greatest or the most valuable of these things is the pious wife. And for so many reasons. Because this pious wife is going to be someone who is going to help you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a person in this community and many of the communities we've met who say it was because of my wife's, because of my wife's connection with Islam and because of my wife's punctuality with salah that it motivated me to do salah. Very rarely it's the other way around. Very rarely do wives change because of their husbands. Wives rarely change because of their husbands. But many times husbands change because of their wife. And from the wives come all of the great servants, all the great saints, and all the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have ever been born. And all the great friends of Allah ta'ala who have ever been born have come from these pious ladies. And subhanAllah, some of these stories you read, the great Imam Rabi'a, rahmatullahi alayh, Rabi'a al-Rai. He was the teacher of Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayh. And Imam, I think his name Rabi'a al-Rai or Rabi'a al-Rai, his name is escaping my mind. He was a teacher of Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayh. And his father went in jihad when his mother was still pregnant. His father had gone in the path of Allah when his mother was still pregnant with a child. And he went for many, many years. Because he had gone from country to country, the system of the time, Allah knows best. But he was a mujahid in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And he returned many, many, many years later. And when he returned home, he met his wife. And then she said, I didn't give you the news because you had gone in the path of Allah and I didn't have any contact or communication with you. But Allah Ta'ala blessed you with a son. And he said, oh, subhanAllah, so where is he? She said, did you just go to the masjid to read salah? He said, yes, I just went to the masjid. Said, did you see anyone in there giving a speech or a talk or anything? He says, yes, there was this very handsome looking young scholar. And he was teaching the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a big gathering. She said, that was your son. And he was so shocked. He says, this is my son? What have you done? Because obviously he had nothing to do with this. He was in jihad. So she said, everything you left me with, I used that on making our son an alim. And even after that had finished, I borrowed money of people to make sure that my son stays on the correct path. And today he's such a great muhaddith, sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is teaching hadith to the people. So he was in tears, all because of this mother. So many, or as soon as I say mother, so many mothers are coming to mind. The great Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, everything he became, he would say it was because of my mother and the sacrifices of my mother. And many of these people, you see that they were orphans, their fathers passed away at a young age. Allah Ta'ala wanted to create a similarity between these people and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these people, their father passed away at a young age. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi's father passed away at a young age. The great Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, the great Imam al-Shafi'i, his father passed away at a young age. His mother raised him. And with every penny she had, she made sure that her son learnt the knowledge of deen. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had a student called Imam Muhammad and one called Imam Abu Yusuf. Both of them were in the situation that their mothers gave them towards the deen. One of the great saints of Allah Ta'ala, Bayazid Bistami rahmatullahi alayhi. Bayazid Bistami rahmatullahi alayhi, again, same thing. His story is very famous. He mentions that due to the service of his mother, due to the khidmah of his mother, when his mother once told him to bring some water for her, and he brought some water for her, and she had fallen asleep. But out of respect for his mother, he did not want to wake her up to disturb her sleep, and he did not want to walk away because she had requested water, so he stayed standing there with the water the entire night. And she woke in the morning and she said, were you here the whole night? He said, yes. And she did dua for him there and then. And that dua got accepted. Allah Ta'ala made him one of the great awliya of his time. The point is, many times it's the sacrifice of the mothers, and so many stories come to mind. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, that the best of the mata' of the dunya is a pious woman. Because the pious spouse motivates a person, helps a person getting closer to Allah Ta'ala, and then blesses a person with pious children, and raises the children in a correct way. And if a person has a spouse who is not on the correct path, or who is not close to Allah Ta'ala, or who does not do good deeds and good actions, then the child will emulate that. First of all, there will be no peace, there will be no contentment. And many times you have to deal with people who talk about their wives, many times unfortunately, who have certain bad character, or they have certain bad habits, and they say our children are learning from this. Which is going to happen. The mother is the first madrasa, the mother is the first teacher. She is the one who is going to pass on these teachings. That's why when we were in madrasa and when we were studying, I remember one time, this is very, very early, I was very, very young then. And this scholar came and he was talking to us, and he said, do you guys do dua for a pious wife? And we started laughing, children. And he said, I'm being deadly serious. He said, if you have a pious wife, anything you want to do in terms of the service of Allah's deen and anywhere you want to move forward, you will do it. And if the spouse, your partner who you have, is not the right person, then you will not be able to even move forward one step. So he would tell us at that time, do the dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Today we read as well in Salatul Isha, Allah Ta'ala mentions the qualities of his pious servants. One of their qualities is that they make this dua. Wa'ibadur Rahman, the pious servants of Allah, they make this dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Wa Allah, grant me from my spouse and from my children qurrata ayun, the coolness of my eyes. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make us all guides and leaders for the believers. Make me and my wife and my children leaders of the believers. So this is a dua that we should make. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Also, just as a reminder, tomorrow inshallah, after Salatul Maghrib, there's a very important talk taking place in the masjid. A very famous scholar, Sheikh Mutasayyif al-Islam, Sahib Bradford, is coming. Please make sure everyone tries to attend inshallah and benefits. Jazakallah.